listen up. Y'all, it's the queen of automation, Megan Donnelly, here to give you inspiration. Founders and business owners, gather round. I'ma show you how to build systems that'll astound. Streamline your processes, no need for complications.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Chronically Automated, where we talk about messy systems or really great systems for messy realities. Not messy systems. We don't want to talk about messy systems. See, that's how my brain works. I'm your host, Megan Donnelly, and maybe you shouldn't listen to me.
And I'm your co-host, Anthony Labosco, and maybe you should listen to me today. Who knows? Maybe not.
I am in my cozy, I was just telling Anthony, I'm in my cozy winter gear. I am like ready for winter. Starbucks, I'm very excited. It has all their Christmas flavors back. Holiday flavors. You're not allowed to call them Christmas flavors. Holiday flavors back, and I'm obsessed with them all. Well, mainly just the one that's caramel. And I refuse to turn my heat on.
So that's why I love it. Pearl Jam concert, Megan. I mean, honestly, is it 1992 right now?
Merry and bright. No, I just refuse to turn my heat on. I'm really just that person who, like, it's going to be like end of summer, fall for as long as I can humanly take it. For those of you that don't know that I live in Wisconsin, and the winters here suck ass. No pun intended. They're just really freaking cold. They get down to like negative 20 degrees with wind chills because of the lakes that are all around us. Who in their right mind wants to live in that? So here I am living in Wisconsin, freezing my ass off more than 7 months out of the year. And it's really great. There was no sarcasm in that at all. I promise. We'll just go with that. Anyway, today we thought we would expand on our topic from last week because it really hit hard. Everybody, I don't know, like, did you see the post this morning? Like, it blew up when I put out that clip. Everybody really resonated with talking about burning it down, right? Like, we've all been there. When you're an entrepreneur and you're a solo entrepreneur, even just a small team, like even if it's just you and a VA, we've all experienced this turning point of burning things down. So this week, we want to talk about the other side of burning things down, right? What do you do after you burn it down, and how do you build it back up? So obviously, one of the things we're going to talk about is AI and automation and systems and processes, because that's what we do, right? At least that's what I do, and I help people do that, right? Because most of the time, when I've talked with other founders and business owners where they're at that point where they're in this kind of destruction mode, right? Where they're in this, I've got to just start over. This isn't working. I need to pivot. I need to scrap this, and they need to pivot over here to this. And when they're in that mode, they're in the mindset of, I need to do this as fast as humanly possible, which is not a bad thing. And I know some people are like, oh, you should slow down. You should think more strategically and more methodically. Well, you're not going to like me at my answer then, because I am like, move fast, take chances, break shit, fix it, break it again, fix it. Like, when you break it, figure out why it broke, go back. And I'm like moving as fast as humanly possible. I'm breaking stuff all day, every day. It's the best way to learn. It's the best way to see what works. It's the best way to A/B test something. So if you're truly like breaking down an entire offer and you're pivoting to something else, this is the best way to do it as fast as humanly possible. A/B test the shit out of that and go, 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 go. AI. In the age of AI, everyone around you is moving at warp speed. Everyone. It's not just you. So if you find yourself in this place where you're ready to make a transition or a pivot, and you're ready to burn this thing down, and you're ready to pivot to over here, AI is your new best friend. And I think we should go through some of the stuff that, like, you and I are building. And then we should just go through some of the different, I'm thinking Anthony will throw out a scenario. We'll just make some stuff up. And we'll kind of do this on the fly. And we'll show you how AI can help you make it simpler. I'm not going to say it's easy. None of this is easy. Okay. Whoever tells you this is easy, don't listen to them. It's not easy being an entrepreneur. You go through ups and downs, and depression and all sorts. Like, you just go through the stages of life. It's not easy, but we're here to help you make it better. So that's all I have. I don't know. What do you think about that, Anthony? Do you think we could run some scenarios to show these people how they can build stuff back up?
Yeah.
What I want to do is comment on, you know, what you said, right? I think that, you know, being able to pivot quickly, being able to, you know, when you have ideas and you want to basically move it, something is not working the way you want it to, but you know that based on maybe some other demand, you're able then to kind of pivot. Here's my thing, right? And this is what you taught me, is that when you have an amazing foundation, okay, listen closely. Foundation for me is DMC. That's my foundation for everything I do, right? So I've got my site on there. I'm able to, you know, update my site, update my offers on the fly and execute, you know, different ways, especially on as being a salesperson too. And what's really cool about this and what Megan just said absolutely resonates with me, because I started off with this when Megan and I, well, really when Megan kind of built this, you know, for me. And then of course I added a lot of content and my offerings and things like that too. It is very different than what it was, you know, a few months ago. And it's because I have proved things out, because I evolved, and I know that a lot of people can relate to this, and you just have to be, and that's a combination of being out there on LinkedIn and, you know, whatever it is, LinkedIn, Instagram, whatever channel that you are in, you are out in, or in person too. Yeah, just getting out there and talking to people and getting feedback on what works, what doesn't, and everything like that. I'm sorry?
It's the conversations that Anthony has been having since we started this journey that matters and makes a difference and help him to pivot, right? Unless you are having conversations with people, you're never going to be able to pivot. Going into all of this, we also used GPT. There was a lot of GPT involvement in the analysis of what Anthony was doing, because what GPT is, and this is, for those of you that are scared of AI, this is one way that AI kicks ass and takes names and is going to do it bigger, better, faster, stronger than any other human out there. Analysis. Taking two things, doing a comparison, and giving you a summary with like analytics and data and numbers. And so for an example, and we won't necessarily go.
Well, Megan, I have a great use case for you. I just wanted to explain something, but I have a really good use case for you. And that's actually
okay, let's do it, because this is what we did for
neurodiverse. Well,
let's do it.
So 17 years ago, I started a business called NeighborBee, right? And I mean, let me tell you something. I spent a lot of money on business plan and, you know, really having consultants in terms of, let's think about, you know, how the technology would look, work, and look in terms of how to bring neighborhoods online, how to bring neighbors together and things like that, all the value. So here we are today in 2025, going into 2026 very quickly. And as Megan has said, right, and really, actually, it's funny you mentioned this, because I was thinking about this right before we got on this podcast, totally unrelated, totally wasn't even thinking about what we were talking about. But I'm saying to myself, what if I took this business plan that I spent thousands of dollars on, and like Megan was just saying, with ChatGPT, taking it, and look, I know it's a lot more complicated than this, taking it and putting it in and saying, hey, ChatGPT, how could it be?
Here's what we're gonna do.
How could it be awesome today? But taking that and then saying, like, we talked about like a couple of episodes ago, Megan, like, how do you then, because we do have a platform, we do have DMC to do it, but man, yep. I mean, how do you then take that and modernize it and find out, one more thing before you go on your thing, is that next door, finding out how this will be different than next door in terms of everything that next door has done in the past 17 years as well. To me, I mean, that's amazing. And why can't I do that? So I'll let you talk for the rest of the time.
This is exactly what you would do there. Almost to the point of verbatim of what you just said was what you would put into GPT. And use the biggest thing is when you are dealing with something where you're struggling, use the voice. Don't use the voice prompter on the phone. Use the voice and talk. Use like the voice chat, right? And talk, because typing is just not going to do this justice when you're struggling. Even though it's a machine and you're talking to a machine and it's super weird and awkward, it will sense your tone of voice. It can sense afflictions up and down, you know, tone. It may not necessarily understand emotion, but it can still...
I didn't know that.
But think about it. Your voice rises and lowers. It's been trained to know, like, if you're really high, like, it's been trained to tell if you're upset. It's been trained. It's still a computer, but it can still, it's, sense is not the right word. It can't sense. It's a computer. It hears the different tones in
like,
your voice.
Just basically say that, okay, well, this has been,
anyway,
you know, you're speaking this way, you know, so it's a couple this. Of, you're probably,
right.
You're emotional
like you're
or something
higher,
like that.
Or you're speaking anger.
Means more.
Right. And it takes the tone of your voice with the words that you're saying, and it meshes together, like, what, you know, whatever. But if you speak to it when you're frustrated or you're struggling and you say something like, I have this great business neighbor bee, and then you explain what it's supposed to be, and it's not, and you say, and it's not working. The business model is not working.
Well, hold on, Megan,
I don't
real
know
quick.
Why. Well, can
I,
be honest.
Can I just say one? I have one thing to say as well on that. And to your point, okay, and I'm sorry, I didn't bring up the neurodiverse part of it, but maybe you can kind of go into this a little bit too. Is that 17 years ago, I mean, I've had MS my entire life almost. So, you know, at that point, 17 years ago, it wasn't as progressed as it is now.
You didn't know, right?
I'm on medication, so thankfully.
Yeah,
what's that?
I'm on medication, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm.
Did you know that you had MS?
I didn't know. I had undiagnosed MS and everything, but that led to, you know, at that time, a lot of brain fog, a lot of anxiety, you know, things that I basically being the person that, oh, I can accomplish anything, I can do anything. I was just so confused and overwhelmed. So, you know, here we are, you know, fast forward in 2025, 26, seeing all this technology, as Megan is saying right now, going back on this, like, it's just, to me, it's like, I just can't believe this. Like, this is even possible to do. So continue. I'm sorry. I will not cut you off anymore.
No, it's okay. Because now I have a story to piggyback off of that. I was talking to Riker, my autistic son. He's 17. He'll be 18 in May. And I mean, autism is a whole nother layer of brain complexity, you know? And I was talking to him this morning specifically about how he is in the age of having so many resources, and that he can figure out what he is really passionate about, what he really loves, figure out how to make money doing that. That you can make money doing anything these days, anything. ChatGPT can help you do it. And it's kind of ridiculous. And I'm not saying, I promise you, I'm not one of these, ChatGPT is going to save the world. I'm not like so overly in love with AI that it's going to like be it. But it really does help in these types of situations, especially if you are in like a brain fog or an overload where you have no idea what to do next. Okay, so that's what we're gonna give you right now. That's what I'm gonna give you right now. We're gonna take the neighbor bee example. Anthony would say to GPT, Anthony would say, "Hey, first thing there's three things that make up amazing prompts. The first thing is you need to tell ChatGPT or Claude or whoever you're talking to. They all have different nuances, so I'm not gonna go into that right now because that would take too long. Maybe we'll do an episode just on that." But they're all different nuances. So I highly suggest that you do a little bit of research just on that alone and understand the differences between Perplexity, Claude, GPT, and all of the other different language models out there. But for now, we're just going to use GPT. So Anthony would say to GPT, one, he would tell GPT who it is. You are an expert level business coach slash advisor with over 20 years experience analyzing businesses who are underperforming and not meeting, meeting expectations, something like that. And tweak that to your liking. And so basically you're telling it to be the coach, you're telling it to be the advisor, you're telling it to be this person who's going to analyze business success. And then that second section is the meat of the prompt where you're telling it what you want it to do. I have a business, Neighbor B. It does XYZ, or this is our mission and our goal, or was, because you were going to say was, or I started the business X amount of years ago. The business name is Neighbor B. This is the mission, blah, blah, blah. Tell it all about Neighbor B. And then you say, our business model isn't working and we don't know why. And I need you to help me,
Megan,
analyze
I,
the business.
Should I add the business plan?
Hang on. Yes.
Like, would it help
you're
going to
attach the business,
plan in there?
Yep. You're going to attach the business plan. But hang on. Don't do that yet. You can attach the business plan, but let's get through this. So you're going to tell it who it is, whatever you say, review the attached business plan of where we were supposed to be or what our mission is. And then you're going to say something like, our business model isn't working. We don't understand why. Help us analyze and figure out where the leaks and holes are so that we can pivot and remix our offer, remix our business to win or something like that, right? Then at the end, you give it the goal, right? So you tell it what you want it to do, and then you want to tell it what the outcome is supposed to be. Our goal for this conversation is to make our business profitable and make our business work. How can we do that, right? Enter. It's as simple as that. Now, at the end of all of this, after you put all these prompts, you need to tell it to ask you questions, right? As my advisor slash coach, I want you to ask me questions to understand as much as possible about the business, our revenue, everything that we've done to date, and have it ask you the questions, and you will be amazed at what this thing is going to spit out. Because then after it does all of that, then you just continue having a conversation like it's your business coach. So as it spits out a bunch of stuff, then you start having a conversation. Oh, wow, this is really great. I don't understand how this works. It will tell you, this is an amazing high-level strategy. Can you break this down into a step-by-step strategical and tactical plan that I can give to my team? And then the next line would be, I want checklists. I want like a monthly or like a 30, 60, 90 plan. You tell it how you want to implement, how fast you want to implement it. And you give it those guardrails where you want your plan. I want my team to make this pivot and implement all of these changes in the next 30 days. How do I get from here to done and implemented in 30 days? What's the step-by-step plan? Give me checklists. Give me, what do I need to do exactly to get there? You're raising your hand. What's your question?
I feel so bad of like cutting you off and stuff. Sorry about that. I think we're on a bit of a delay too. But anyway, so here's the thing too, right? I mean, this is apps. What we are doing is we're going to be doing this in DMC. Right? DMC has micro communities, and this is going to be perfect for it. I talk about how I'm going to be using that as well. Like, I'm just curious, or am I just looking for advice and then we'll back it in? Like, what do you recommend?
I recommend and you can break it down. Once you do those three things and you get the initial information from GPT and you start going through the questions, you should definitely tell it that if you have a platform that you're using, so DMC, and that's the platform, or if you have specifications like, I want to build this inside DMC, Digital Magic CRM, you would tell it that and it would know, or Klaviyo or Constant Contact, whatever it is. Yes, absolutely, 100%. You need to give GPT as much information so that it knows. Of course, you can always go back in at the end and say, this is fantastic. Can you now help me knowing that, or you can say something like, I want to build this entire strategy and business model out inside Digital Magic CRM. Can you help me build an architecture for that system? Sure as shit, it's going to come up and it's going to say, this is fantastic. It always agrees with you. It's always going to tell you you're amazing and what a great idea. And so it's like just trained to always agree with whatever you say. Stop raising your hand. It's weird.
But Megan, we're on a delay and I don't want to like come off as like constantly like, you know, interrupting, but when do I, so just generally speaking, I know we're talking about my specific, you know, my specific project, but this could be, this obviously, this framework is used for really anyone. And let's say if anyone does have some, you know, information like I do, like I have a real tangible business plan, you know, that I still believe in, that I still love and everything like that. But when do I put that in? Like you talked about so many awesome things, but when at is that on the front end? Do I add that? Or like, when do I add that?
I would put it in at the beginning when you create the first prompt. And when you create that middle section of okay. where you're telling it what you okay. want it to do, you can okay. say, I've attached the business plan for you to review. We really believe in this business plan, but our execution method didn't pan out or something like that. You just need to be really honest with it and you need to feed it as much information. The more documentation that you can give it, the better, because then it will be built. It's building off something that's real then and not trying to like scour the internet. And if you believe in like Nextdoor and some of those other like companies, like if you're curious to think what it like you want to differentiate and stand out from XYZ competitors, like give it the competitor information. Say, here's the competitors. Like, go scrape their website, download it into a PDF, upload that into there. And you can obviously, I personally do not like just putting URLs in and having it scrape the URLs. I'm not a fan of that, only because I feel like it misses information. And because most people have shitty websites. They don't design their websites well. And what GPT and other AI systems are using is they're scraping the HTML code. So if your website is built poorly or it's built on a platform that builds it poorly, it's going to give you shit. So I highly recommend you use a tool like Easy Scraper, or you use a tool like, I don't even remember what this is called, but I have these two favorite tools. It's called Go Full Page. It's an extension and it literally just screenshots the whole page and then uploading that into GPT so that it can actually see and read what you want it to actually see and read. You need to control the information. That's another thing about when people are talking about like AI and GPT. So this is really important when you're doing a build back up using AI to help you and using AI to analyze. You need to control the information that you are giving it. Okay? Because otherwise, it's going to go out there and search the interwebs and come back with whatever, you know, whatever it comes back with. Now, Perplexity is much better at searching the internet. So if you do want to do competitor analysis, you should definitely use Perplexity because you can put in their URL. What's great about Perplexity, you know it's working because it does sources. GPT is getting better about that. It will give you sources if you ask for it, but it doesn't just offer them up. Usually you have to ask. Perplexity is all about sourcing their information because it's a different type of crawler than GPT is when it goes out and searches. Anyway, so if you definitely want to use Perplexity to pull up customer information, like competition. Yeah, so pull up competition wow. information with Perplexity, download that information into a PDF, upload the PDF into GPT as you're doing this build backup, and you will be amazed at how quickly it's going to analyze what you did before to what you want to do now and give you ideas. And you can even tell it, give me three different business models. Like, and you can say vastly different. I always use words like vastly or extreme detail. Like, I want GPT to know that I don't just want a marginal list of three ideas that are so similar. No, I want three vastly different business models. I want a subscription model that is a sustainable monthly subscription. I want an e-commerce model. And then I want something that's totally different, and so that I can then choose my own adventure. It will give you the breakdown of each as well. Like, you can say you want these three vastly different business models, and then you can then expand on each one and have it build you out like a revenue forecast. If I implement this to perfection and I do everything that you're telling me to do, and I'm doing, and I, you know, and whatever the dollar amounts that it's like, it's giving you for revenue scale and growth, you know, what's my expected revenue in XYZ? And you can say, my goals are to make X amount of dollars. Like, I want $500,000 in the next 3 years. Which is the best business model to help me get to that goal? Which business model best fits that income goal, that lifestyle goal? This is what it's good at. It's good at taking in all of the information, analyzing it against the other information, and then spitting you out the plan, like the execution plan. I'm telling you, this is exactly what we're going to be doing.
That's amazing.
Right here, what we literally just talked about.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And this is what we did with this. To be fair, this is what I did with Anthony's. You
know, yeah. This is truly amazing. And not only that, I mean, I can't thank you for the advice and everything, but, you know, people hear what Megan said. I mean, these are things, first of all, I mean, just fundamentally, you know, speaking to AI is really the key in terms of what is so important of how you address AI, how you talk to it, because there is so much potential. And for people that can't see certain things, they can't see how it can help you, can. So whatever you think it can't do, it can. You just have to figure out how it is, how to do it. And the second thing is that being neurodiverse, I never would have even thought about, number one, I wouldn't have thought that I had MS back in 17 years ago. But number two, you know, knowing what I had gone through in terms of brain fog and, you know, anxiety and things like that. And look, this is not just limited to me. I mean, there are many, many people, you know, certainly including yourself, Megan, that we all deal with something. So it's not just an Anthony thing. But here's the key. Like, what I find amazing is that there really is, like, this is technology leveling the playing field right here. This is how, and anyone that is afraid of AI, this is how you take AI and you amplify yourself and you amplify what you're doing, what maybe didn't work that you knew was a great idea, that you knew was a great concept that you may still believe in, and you may have had some challenges. Anyway, I'm going to get off my soapbox, but this is just such a great lesson on so many levels.
It's the age of information, and it has been for a long time. I'm gonna break this down a little further for those of you that are just now like on this AI thing, you know, oh yeah, AI. It's hilarious to me that AI is now this thing that's new and big, and it's been this way, you know, for a couple of years now. And I have to tell you, I have been doing this for more than 20 years, and machine learning and automation and AI has been around for 20 plus years. Not to the level of where an everyday business owner or consumer can just go out and access it, but I've been working with development teams that have been using machine learning models, like big data. We're talking like Salesforce level data, like, you know, data servers and stuff like that, that have been using machine learning data analysis models for, I don't know, 12 years, 15 years. One of my best friends, that's what he has done. His entire career is built off of understanding how to read SQL data models and like using machine learning to do data analysis and comparison on like big data. And it's just funny to me now, everybody's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, this has been forever. It's just, you know, it's easily acceptable to the masses. Like, everyone can get it. Everyone has access.
Yeah, now. I mean,
which is crazy.
Totally. Being in technology, you know, my entire career, you know, and this is kind of nerdy, but, you know, I'm a telecommunications guy. And, you know, back in the 90s, we had something called frame relay. And what we did was we used to draw a picture of a cloud, and like, you know, going into the cloud, like, all these different spokes going into the cloud and everything like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, 10, 15 years later, it was called cloud. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, I know this is cloud. And, you know, so it's really interesting of how, you know, technology certainly has been around for a long time, but now it's just becoming mainstream. And when it becomes mainstream, two things happen. It can be, you know, people embrace it or people are terrified of it. Right. And I think those people that are terrified of it, I mean, you're probably seeing it a lot more, you know, on the AI side and the machine learning side than frame relay and cloud. I mean, no doubt, but still it's a very, you know, the evolution of technology is a wonderful thing. If you look at it the right way, and you can really do amazing things with it, if you're able to embrace it.
Yeah, it's insane. It really is. And I know I'm a super nerd, obviously. I love all of this stuff. So like, I know I'm a super nerd, but I'm telling you, you live in the age of information. There is nothing that you can't do right now without asking for help. Like you can ask anything and it will give you help. These AI models are so insanely complex. You can ask whatever question you want and it will give you help. Now, obviously, you still have to be conscious and like check your answers and, you know, and do that. But think about it. This is the best part. You've been using Google Chrome for years. You've been using Google for years to ask it questions and give you answers. And now ChatGPT comes around and you're asking it questions. It's giving you answers. And then it's saying, well, check Google to make sure your answers are correct. What do you think Google is, guys and girls and people? Where do you think Google came from? Where do you think Google got all its information? I'm just going to throw that out there. And I'll let you guys all resonate on that. That's all our TLDR for the day. For everyone who's freaking out about AI and freaking out about whatever, where do you think Google got all of its information? Before AI, before all this Elon Musk, before all of this stuff. Let's just go with that. And next year, when I come back to talk to you, next week, we can talk about the answer. AI's not new. These machine learning models are not new. They're just now accessible to the public in a way that's never been accessible before. But
well, it's Megan, it's just like the internet, right? I mean, the internet has been around since the 50s, right? With ARPANET. And, you know, it became mainstream in the 90s, right? So it's a lot of this technology. Yeah, a lot of this technology has been out there for a long time. But again, that's a whole different. Yeah. And that's a whole different conversation.
Do you remember when our parents were, you know, you think of like in the 80s, like, oh, the internet's not ever going to be a thing. It's never going to take off. And then there's a dot-com thing and it crashed or whatever. And, you know, all that stuff. And then it became the norm. It became the norm. Like my, you know, my 78-year-old mother is an Amazon Google freak. She loves Amazon. She loves searching through Amazon and just finding stuff to buy. She loves Google. She loves the fact that she can buy her airplane tickets just from going right on Google and like it gives her price matching and stuff. Like it's insane. So I just want everybody to take kind of like a step back and think about that for a second. The thing that you're afraid of is the thing that's already existed for so many years. This is the pivot. GPT is the pivot. Claude is the pivot. Perplexity is the pivot. The internet became just the internet, like the standard, the norm. Now what are we doing? We're breaking the mold. Somebody decided to pivot, break the mold of the norm, turn this into this AI-like insaneness. And now we're all going that way.
I think TLDR, Megan broke the mold. That's a whole
all of this. The internet. I broke the mold because I'm wearing holiday wear and it has not even Thanksgiving yet. I don't care. I'm comfortable. You want to see my slippers? I'm kidding. I'm joking. Anyway, TLDR, just have a conversation with GPT. Be real about it. Use Perplexity to research your competitors. If you're ready to build it back up and you want to build it back up quickly, it's not a cheat code, but it will help. It will help a lot. You still have to put the work in. You are still
Anything
going to physically have to do the work.
Possible, people.
I mean, unless you're really good at complex learning, or you have a developer like I do that can have GPT take what it gives you and build it, which is really cool, by the way. Someday I'll show you all how to do that. It's really, really fun when you can call up your guy and be like, hey, check this thing out that I did. Can you build this for me? And he's like, can I have GPT build it? Sure. And then, you know, like an hour later, I have this fully developed app thing. It's awesome. Very cool. We need to go. We're going to hang up. See, this is the kind I have had. I'm very excited today. I'm really excited about the pivots because there's lots of pivots happening and coming. We will talk about those on this show and on the regular Queen of Automation podcast and in our content. But there's some really fun, exciting pivots happening on the DMC side. So more to come on that. Yay. Yay us. And that's all I got. All of this stuff, technology, automation, systems, processes, AI, it's all good. Unless it's broken, it's only good when it works. So we hopefully help you make it work. That's the plan. We're trying to help you make it work and give you tips and tricks and ways to help it make it work for you. All the things. Bye. I can't turn it off. My dog is barking like a... Is it done? I can't tell.
I have
it's
to run.
It's not turning off, Anthony. It's still going.
I have to run.
You run. Andrea will just cut out the end. Like, it's not. It's just... Do you see what it's doing?
Yeah.
You see the little red thing down at the bottom? It's like grayed out. I can't do anything. Okay, I'm just going to... Okay, you go, and then I'm going to like shut it down, and then it'll tell me I probably need to upload something. That's fine. I broke it. Whatever.
That was a great episode. Thank you.
Bye.
Stay warm.
I'm trying.
Oh,
my God. Lay down.